top stories to keep your eyes and ears on.
Now, it's common cause that Johannesburg is in crisis. Power, water, roads and basic services are collapsing under the weight of mismanagement and debt. Now, business leaders are stepping in, arguing the city is too important to fail. Business for South Africa, that's the grouping that has helped steady Eskom and Transnet, is reportedly turning its attention to Johannesburg. And from the grouping, I'm in conversation now with Martin Kingston. I guess the question is whether the private sector intervention can succeed where local government has consistently come up short. Martin, a very warm welcome to you. Maybe the first question is a technical one. How would you avoid duplicating or crowding out existing city initiatives? You would have to work hand in hand in order for this to work.
Yeah, well, that's the key question, Jeremy, that you've asked, of course. In all of our work to date, whether it be in crime and corruption or indeed energy or transport and logistics, as you've mentioned, our first job has been to see what work is already taking place, both in the public sector and in the private sector, and then seeing how best we can leverage private sector skills and capacity and bring that to bear. In this particular case, I think that there's a sort of a high level of awareness that there are many initiatives underway, both in the public sector at the level of both the municipality, but going right up to a presidential task force, as well as individual private sector initiatives. But what is clear is that it's not having the impact that is required, both in terms of fundamentally changing the trajectory for the city, but also the optics. We are very concerned that for all the good work that the country is doing, it is undermined by a perception that the city is failing, whether it is correct or not, and that needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency.
Why do you think the current work being done by a multiplicity of players is not having the impact, as you've suggested?
Well, first of all, it's not coordinated. We know that. One of the key elements of the partnership between government and business has been to identify what are the absolutely essential priorities and drivers, what are the interdependencies between them, and to bring project management skills to bear, particularly those honed in the private sector, to work alongside and in support of government to ensure that those priorities are properly resourced, that the key decisions are taken by government and then implemented. So you can have a multiplicity of initiatives, but actually the problem is that we get gridlock over time. The second, and we need to deal with this head on, is the level of crime, corruption and maladministration that we're finding, both in the public and in the private sector. We can't deal with that as Business for South Africa. That's not our role or responsibility, but we need to call it out and we need to make sure that the state is strengthened to be able to address it. And thirdly, and again, you'll be very well aware of this, as will your listeners, the politics that are at work. We've made it clear from the outset that we're not prepared to get involved in politics at a local or indeed provincial or national level. That's the responsibility of the government of the day. We've raised that directly with the president. But despite all of that, we do think there are two or three key initiatives that could be scaled. Certainly, as you've mentioned, in the context of infrastructure, we absolutely need to bring to bear disciplines, accountability and responsibility that is clear for all to understand and see with respect to, for example, as you say, infrastructure, build and roll out, repairs and maintenance, the rehabilitation of key aspects of the inner city as well as the city more broadly.
You say you'll stay out of politics, but how realistic is that really in Johannesburg, Martin?
Well, I don't think that we can actually have any useful impact in politics. There's a perception, it's completely incorrect, that business is involved in either lobbying or pulling strings with respect to political outcomes. Actually, that's neither our role and responsibility, nor is it effective, I think, in our experience and the experience of many of the CEOs who are involved with this. We need to be aware of it. I think we need to call it out privately, constructively. But in the final analysis, the city of Johannesburg is going to have to take responsibility for its actions. And ultimately, that flows up to government at national level and the political parties concerned. We're all very well aware of the fact that the local government elections are upon us probably in the next 14 months or so. We're not doing this to try and secure any competitive advantage for any of the political parties. Nothing could be further from the truth. The reality is that whilst we are not able to ensure that Johannesburg, as the economic hub of South Africa, thrives and prospers As I said, all of our other efforts are undermined. We've got economic growth of 1% or below as a country, and Johannesburg is a key contributor to that, either in ensuring we do have that growth or indeed undermining the prospects for that growth.
This really sounds like 11th hour stuff. Is this intervention not coming too late? Should you not have done this a lot earlier?
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeremy. The reality was that we needed to get the first three initiatives up and running. We needed to ensure that none of the efforts that we were expending, both in the public and the private sector. I mean, the private sector has committed over 750 subject matter experts to the other areas and over 350 million rands worth of cash support, either by procuring expertise for the government and or for the private sector side of the partnership. The reality is that we weren't prepared to detract from that focus by looking at other areas. At the president's request, we added unemployment and in particular a focus on youth unemployment. We all recognize the gravity of the situation there. And at our most recent meeting with the president just over 4 weeks ago, once again, Johannesburg got raised as a major concern and a request that we should actually bring the same sort of heft to bear, the coordination skills that were in place, as we'd done elsewhere. And we believed that that absolutely required us to take stock to assess whether there was indeed a real prospect for us to get involved. We haven't committed to do so until we have assessed the situation, which we'll do in the coming month or two.
Once you've done that, and let's assuming the initiative goes ahead, how would point chief executives or operatives be chosen? And surely there would be a concern about conflict of interest.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So in all of our areas, we're very mindful of conflicts of interest. We've agreed a set of principles with the government where we ensure that there is no scope whatsoever for people who've got a particular interest being able to prosecute that independently, if you like, a national interest. There are many, many chief executives, whether they be of financial institutions, whether they be of other major companies that are dependent upon an effective and operating city, who are not conflicted at all, but who have, I think, the best interests of the city at heart. We've spoken to the vast majority of them. What we've seen in the Business for South Africa initiative, Jeremy, is that many CEOs, 160 plus, have thrown their hat into the ring to say they're prepared to sign a pledge. And of that, a large number getting personally involved in overseeing the initiatives concerned at all times, as you said, mindful of the fact that not only can there be any conflict, but there cannot be any perception of conflict. So we will address that straight up before we announce the names of any such individuals.
Martin Kingston, thank you very much.